Catherine Vaz, uma autora luso-americana, subejamente conhecida do público americano e também das comunidades portuguesas. Ela foi bolseira da Briggs Copeland Fellow in Fiction na Universidade de Harvard, bolseira do Radcliffe Institute e foi ainda recipiente de um National Endowment for the Arts. Mariana, um dos seus livros, foi selecionado pela Biblioteca do Congresso como um dos mais importantes livros internacionais em 1998. Em novembro último, Catherine Vaz publica um romance intitulado Above the Salt, que revisita o seu tema recorrente, que é o da presença portuguesa neste lado do Atlântico. I want to welcome you, Catherine.
I'm absolutely delighted to be here, and I, of course, just enjoyed a lovely in-person tour of Boston and Providence, so it's very nice to have reacquainted myself with a lot of people in the New England Portuguese community.
And in this city where our radio, our studios are located, we have, as you know, a very diverse Portuguese-speaking community with a strong presence of the immigrants from the islands and their descendants. This book, Above the Salt, is so much about us too, right in a way, here in New Bedford, since we have a very important Madeiran community.
I'm especially pleased that this is, I do not myself have roots in Madeira, but I do, of course, in the Azores. And I came across this incredible little known story that is not only not very known in America generally, but not very well known in our Luso community either, which is the story of refugees from Madeira who had been converted to Presbyterianism and were adopted by Illinois at the time of Lincoln. So I came across the story when I was doing a presentation at the Library of Congress in the Hispanic division at the invitation of a lovely woman named Doctora Ieda Siqueira Huillarda. And it took 15 years, and I'm glad to be here. I will interject quickly that I apologize to your listeners for speaking in English, even though I am myself dedicated to reading and studying Portuguese an hour a day without fail. And I'm always looking to improve, but I express myself better in English, so that's the language I'm using today.
Can you tell us a little bit more about this novel and about the historical background?
Sure. It is, first of all, something I'm very proud of, and I worked for 15 years on. It landed at a major publisher, which is Flatiron Books, at the company Macmillan. And I'm very pleased to tell your listeners especially that a Portuguese edition in Portuguese will be out in June in Lisbon and in the Portuguese-speaking world from ASA, which is a division of Leia, translated by the outstanding Tanya Ganho, who is a particularly astute and wonderful person and talented translator. So I'm very pleased about that. I have heard that the title will not be a literal translation of Above the Salt, but I don't know what the final title will be yet. But in terms of the historical bearings of this, I just decided to be a detective and follow the trail of a story based on a person named John Alves, who gave a newspaper interview as an old man when he returned to the Lincoln household and recalled a love he had known there. He had courted her there. Her name was Mary. And when it came time to sign the guest book at the Lincoln household, his hand trembled so much that he couldn't quite sign his name. He needed help to do it with another visitor who was there. And when I was beginning my research, I asked to see this ledger, this guest book, and it was verbatim the way he had recalled it. So in a way, the beginning of my trail, my historical start to looking at all the aspects of this story, was based on that trembling arm. What happened? How did he lose her? Why, when he returned from the Civil War, did he wander the West for decades and then come back to the Lincoln household and recall this love? And as a novelist, I used this true story of the Madeiran Portuguese to begin an adventure of research, because of course I had to find out more about the Civil War. I had to find out about Illinois, which, because I grew up in California, I didn't know as much about. And just to follow the trail, it to me represents another contribution of trying to help the larger reading public in America appreciate some of the stories of the Portuguese immigrants and Portuguese residents or native-born people in this country.
Definitely. We should be very thankful to your work. And there is an historical start here, but the novels have their own language and the way they pursue knowledge. What did you find in terms of, as a novelist, what is your truth here?
That's a really good way to put it. What is my truth here? And I think for the novelist, what you do, and I once heard another writer named Geraldine Brooks, who has also written about the Civil War in a very, very different way, talk about what she called the blank space. And that is exactly what I felt when I was reading that interview with John Olves. What was the blank space that occurred when he was meticulous in his memories, but he did not say what broke his heart? Why did he come back to Illinois? And then there's a year that he doesn't talk about, and suddenly he's in the West. So a novelist enters those white spaces, that blank canvas, and begins to imagine what are the human things happening? What are not just the facts, but what are the things that people truly feel? What are the emotions? What are the sensations? For example, I discovered during my research that during the Civil War, as a soldier in the Union Army, he had been detained, actually court-martialed for 20 days. And I thought, oh no, what happened? If he did something really terrible, I'm not so sure I want to write about this guy. I'm not sure what, this is difficult. And I can tell you that people who I know, who helped me do the research at the National Archives in Washington, D.C., said, Catherine, forget about it. It's a needle in a haystack. You'll never find out what he did. There's just too much. Well, the truth is, I did find out. I was lucky. I found the document within 3 hours of just poking around looking. And I can tell you, as kind of a hint and incentive to read the book, that I absolutely laughed and fell in love with this soldier for what he did, what he got in trouble for, is absolutely hilarious. And you will fall in love with him. But I won't tell you what it is, because you'll read the book and find out, because I put in the book verbatim, pretty much verbatim, mm-hmm. or the truth of what happened there. So I did have things that I found that I put in the book. But when you're a novelist, when you're doing a scene, for example, this character I was investigating, attaching myself to, talked about being invited by Abraham Lincoln to sit at his table. He met Mary there, and they did things. He encountered Mary there, and what might they have talked about? What might Lincoln have said to him? What did they eat? What were the things going through John's mind? That's the territory for novelists, not just saying the fact that he went to the house on that day, but what did that feel like? What did it feel like for a boy who had grown up in a little village of Madeira to realize he was sitting at the household or at the table of someone who everyone felt was definitely going to be on the road to the presidency? What did that feel like? Lincoln is such a strong character, but I didn't want that to take over the book. But the territory of of the novelist is to tell the truth about how things feel. What was the kind of love that John had in his life that he would tremble as an old man to recall it? I mean, these are, what did it feel like to walk on the prairie of Illinois? What did it feel like for people from subtropical Madeira to suddenly find themselves in the ice and snow of Illinois? And I went to Illinois. I am a firm believer that research is about going to a place, being surprised, meeting people. For example, I encountered a person in Illinois who was developing something called ghost orchid perfume. I had no idea that orchids might grow on the prairie of Illinois. So a novelist goes to a place and basically says to these characters, to the environment, please surprise me, fill me up with the things that people are going to feel the world in a different way.
And did you find, when you went to Illinois, did you find the presence of those memories in terms of, I mean, specifically that it's still there, the presence of that immigration, that group?
Yes. There is to this day an area of Jacksonville, Illinois, called Madeira Hill. It is sometimes referred to as Portuguese Hill. I had a reader who sent me a photograph of the street sign Portuguese Hill because she was a descendant of these people and was so excited to realize there was a book out there that honored them and tried to capture their lives. But here's where research, you open yourself up to a pathway. I happened to get a fellowship teaching at Illinois College in Jacksonville. I mean, what are the odds there would be a one semester job there? They were so surprised I was doing a story based in their town that I got the job. And I was at something called the Lincoln Library. There was a nameplate on a desk that said Stephen Govea. And I went up to him and I said, by any chance, are you a descendant of the Portuguese Protestants of Illinois? And he looked at me and he said, I have been at this job for years. No one has ever asked me that. And he said, yes, and I'll introduce you to other people who are descendants of that community who still live here. Now, they had names that you would not immediately identify as Portuguese, but they warmly welcomed me. They were so excited. They gave me hymnals that the Portuguese Protestants had used. They gave me newspaper accounts. They gave me stories from their great-great-grandmother. They gave me all sorts of material. So because of saying, I'm going to put myself in that place, I'm going to open myself up to this, I did meet people. But I'll tell you something that's been really wonderful to me as a writer. I think readers complete the act of writing. I want to give readers, writers basically say to readers, here's something I'm going to hand you that's going to take you hours to read. It's going to mean that you sink into the world I created. I hope you enjoy it. But that is, people give, a few hours of their time to enjoying your book. So I want to honor that by giving them a good story. But I worked very, very hard to get it to be a book that's very rich and poetic, but that makes you want to say, okay, what happened next? I have no idea what's going to happen. Oh, gosh, this is very tense. I wanted it to be an exciting story. And I worked very hard with editors to make sure that I got to that place that readers could enjoy. So I to get back to your original question, there are remnants of this area still in Jacksonville. They're a little bit hidden, but I wanted to go find them.
What a wonderful way of talking about your book. Catherine, I hope that our public here in this region really reads your book and understands or keeps thinking about how this Portuguese community in the United States is so diverse, so chronologically and in terms of space too.
Yeah, I think that there has never been a novel about the American Civil War in which the role of the Portuguese is celebrated. Mm-hmm. I cannot think of another novel that has the Portuguese people of the Midwest as a thriving community celebrated and presented to the general American public as an important facet of who we are as American people.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Irene.